Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen. With me today, stand-up comedian and voiceover artist Alex King. This is your daily dose of happy. We are so happy you decided to join us today.
And in addition to Alex, we have the Stream of David joining us today. David Strickle. And this is becoming a monthly thing, David. We're liking this. This is good.
Yeah. I love coming and hanging out over here. It's fun.
It is fun. This is a good place.
Yeah.
And I've been seeing a lot of you lately, but this is more like what you try to do during the Tide Group today. You try to turn it into a social hour. But this really is a social hour because nobody's going to be saying, yeah, but I did this in my Tide practice. What do you think?
But in module 3, in 20 minutes. <That's right. laughs> Let's worry about that here.
No, not really. Not at all. We may get people in live stream asking questions. If that happens, that'll be a good thing. But I think we kind of were off to the right start at the beginning before we even got on the show here because you guys were talking about coffee and you were getting really excited about it. So maybe we just make this a show about coffee.
Yeah.
I mean, you never know, right?
I have very limited knowledge about coffee.
Well, I mean, I did a shot of espresso right before we came on. So
all right.
Okay. I've already had my coffee.
Oh, snap. Ready to go.
I'm jazzed up.
But I can understand why you said that, Alex, because you just told us that you just started doing this coffee. What is it? A coffee? What is it? Cookie dough? What is that thing?
Cookie dough, coffee, Dunkin'
Cookie
Donuts.
Dough coffee. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you don't really have the body in a place of already having adapted to it. So you're getting the major rush right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. And you're hiding it very well because you're not talking like this very, very, very fast.
Oh, I don't do that. I just come up with random thoughts.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Well, that could be a good thing.
It's an intellectual spin. Yeah.
Well, actually, I'm going to bring in a little bit of Taya here because this is my Taya day going on here. Alex, you aren't aware of this, but you know I'm in the program. I'm in the Taya boot camp program.
Mm-hmm.
And today I had a meeting with my mentor at 11. We had the boot camp an hour after that. I met with one of our listeners who is actually considering being a co-host, who is also a Taya boot camper after that. And now we're doing this with David today. So this is like Taya day.
Okay.
You know,
Taya Thursday.
So, cool. So Taya Thursday. That's it. Yeah. So we got a good label for it.
And we're coming out with a brand new Taya coffee real soon.
Are you really? Oh, no. Tell me.
We haven't gotten into Taya merchandise at this point. I'm not saying that won't happen.
Stacy would probably like that, actually. I think she'd probably get excited about all that merchandise.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I could see like t-shirt bracelet, maybe a coffee mug. Who knows?
Well, you got to have a coffee mug after this.
Yes. You need a Taya coffee mug for sure.
Yeah. That's like a requirement, I suspect.
You
probably give that up each time somebody buys a package.
I got a tattoo of Taya. Maybe I should have gotten a coffee mug instead. To remind me to dress my bonnets.
Well, I mean, now Alex's fiance is a tattoo artist. So
yeah, well,
I have to go to her on that one. Should he have gotten the tattoo or should he have gotten the coffee mug? Which is the better thing?
Well, always start off with a mug first and see if you like it, and then go with the tattoo.
Ah, okay.
Probably a good test drive with a mug is probably a good idea.
But even better now, and my fiance is opening up a tattoo shop soon, so we'll be able to be doing this in the shop. They now have semi-permanent tattoo ink that lasts only a year. So you can try your tattoo out for a year, see how you like it, and then make it permanent if you
want.
That's
a brilliant. Yeah. So if you want your boyfriend or girlfriend on tattoo, just do this.
Exactly. Which you shouldn't do anyway.
Because statistically.
It's an automatic curve. Yes.
That's great. I love that. That's a brilliant invention. Whoever came up with that, that's a brilliant invention.
Yeah. A couple of kids that were scared to get tattoos at MIT.
Okay.
That's cool.
Yeah, they were like, why don't we create some ink that only lasts a certain amount of time in case, you know, because their parents are always like, you know, this is permanent, right? Well,
yeah. There's a comedian on Saturday Night Live, Pete Davidson.
Yep.
He's got over 100 tattoos on his body, and he's getting them all removed.
He's getting them removed?
Yes. Most of them are girls.
That's very painful, right?
Yeah. That's that laser surgery stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a big life change to have suddenly, you know, his whole identity was being covered in tattoos and some other things too.
But it was also hindering him as an actor. Like he was only getting typecasted into the movies that he was producing. He wasn't getting.
I didn't know the reason behind it. So that's interesting. Yeah, it's a professional choice. Okay.
Yeah.
I guess the body makeup's not enough to cover up that many tattoos. Or...
Not that many, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a ton. That's a punch. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right. You would only be cast as a tattooed person.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm starting to sound, I'm going to sound really old here, though, but this younger generation, everybody's got a tattoo, though.
Everybody. So,
yeah.
But not that many tattoos that you would be typecasted to, like, somebody in prison or someone doing drugs or, you know,
right.
Those are your only options. You want to branch out.
Yeah, I used to work for a furniture company, and it was a rather conservative national brand. Mm-hmm. And he, right at the beginning of the recession in 2008, we put a girl on the cover, this younger girl, younger woman with tattoos on the cover of the magazine, like the monthly magazine for ads. Mm-hmm. People lost their minds.
Oh, like, no.
It's so funny. I operated it. I was over the Seattle market. Seattle could care less. You know, my customers could care less. But the rest of the country got really upset by it. And they're like, oh, no, no. Girl, and it became this running joke about the tattoo girl. Yeah.
Wow.
How dare you have a tattoo person on the cover of, you know, with a dresser, you know?
With a dresser.
Who cares, you know?
Yeah, honestly.
Well, trying to be cool, cooler than it was.
It was well, a kind of all that.
In light of all that, it sounds like a good idea to have disappearing ink tattoos. Because if you get yourself in trouble like that a year later, you're okay.
Yeah, too bad it didn't disappear off the magazine cover, right?
Yeah, well,
you have a different cut. You have an overlay. You can just take your tattoo right off. It's a young woman standing next to a piece of furniture.
Maybe I need to clue them in. There's this wonderful piece of software called Photoshop. It works really, really good. Just saying.
Yeah. That is true. Of course, the magazine had already gone out.
Right.
Yeah.
That's my beef. I used to work with Photoshop all the time. Way back in my younger days, I was a graphic designer, and I just get absolutely just blown away at how poor a job people do with Photoshop these days.
I mean,
most people can't see it, I guess, but I can see it. I can tell.
I can see it when it's like women that are be like, oh yeah, new year, new me, and their waist is like this. But so at the wall.
There's that too. Right.
Yeah. And I'm like, why is the wall inside your curves? I don't understand.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, okay. So you didn't lose any weight. Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We all enjoy the slightly improved version of ourselves though, because I like Zoom. You know, Walt, in my world, everything we do in the tile world is on Zoom.
Right.
And Zoom has that lovely little touch up your appearance.
Oh yeah, right.
I'm on Zoom all day long, and then I hop on StreamYard. My marketing company uses a Google meeting that doesn't have that, and I see what I really look like, and I'm like, oh my God, is that what I really look like? I have this vision of myself being the Zoom version of me.
If that's what you're looking at all day, why would you think?
Yeah, I need the rest of the world to see me through the Zoom filter, right?
And Alex, this is really particularly funny because in the boot camp today, we were talking literally on the topic of how you feel about how you looked about yourself. Now David's showing the other side of how he feels about it, which is really cool.
Yeah. Well, I was talking about making peace with aging for sure.
Right.
And, you know, we could all do well, I think, to make more peace with aging, but that doesn't mean that you can't, you know, do little things here and there to, I guess, look younger. I think that's fine.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I even said, you know, like Madonna has completely reinvented her face.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't look like her anymore. But again, it's her face and it's her business. And if she wants to do that, there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
I just wouldn't do it myself. That's all. But then again, I'm not Madonna. So I don't think anybody really cares then.
She's 63, and she does not look 63, that's for sure.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good thing. And there's our friend Daniel dropping in. Hey there, Dan. How you doing?
Daniel got some sun.
Hello. I'm late because I was...
Can't hear you.
You got to turn off the mic. Can't quite hear you.
I got a bit swollen and sunny on the beach.
Oh,
yeah.
I fell asleep on the beach. So.
David and I we were kind of wondering if maybe you were just kind of avoiding the show because you're trying to deal with the fact that you're doing the Tire Mastery thing tomorrow.
Said you weren't here. I said he's probably prepping for his big mastery training tomorrow that he's doing.
We've been receiving messages from the ethers on that for a little while now. So
nice.
It's been a ride in and of itself.
I'm excited.
Me too. Me too.
Well, the conversation you've missed so far, Daniel, has been conversation about coffee and how important coffee can be in your particular taste pattern, particularly with Alex. Alex has actually become a coffee drinker.
I thought you weren't. What happened to our friendship?
Dunkin' Donuts cookie dough, man.
What happened to our friendship, bro?
Dude, sorry, man. Dunkin' Donuts cookie dough. I had to do it.
Okay.
But it'll only be for part of the year.
I thought the loyalty meant something, but there we go.
I'll be loyal the rest of the year when the flavor isn't out.
Okay.
You see, this is what you walked into, David. I don't know if I gave you enough warning about what Thursdays are like, but they have just absolutely gone into like orbit since you put this particular crew together. So you're dealing with an unusual. This is not Tire Boot Camp. This is way beyond Tire Boot Camp.
Good.
He had a shot of espresso. He's ready to go.
Yes.
All right.
You can always count on me to be caffeinated.
That's a good thing.
See, I don't go for the caffeine. I'm naturally caffeinated.
That's why I think Dan's surprised. I know I'm surprised.
It just tastes really good. That's all. And it's iced coffee, so it's very refreshing in this heat.
That's true. Yes. Well, anything cold.
I love the taste of coffee. Like I said earlier, just plain coffee. So I love the taste of it. So at this point, I've been drinking it for so long, I don't know if the caffeine even has an impact. So it's more about the taste. I love the taste of it.
Nah. I don't know why.
Plain espresso, like plain beans. Yeah. You like whiskey? Okay. Yeah. Are you a whiskey drinker?
I was indoctrinated into the gospel of whiskey. No, seriously, because at first it's like, what is this? And then it's like, oh, that's what it is.
Yeah, true.
I love whiskey too. So those are my two favorite. My favorite beverages are whiskey and coffee.
And so,
but I'm drinking water.
So it is. So it wasn't. So it always will be.
Yeah.
thus saith the stream.
Yeah.
The stream will be like, don't put that on us. That was all him. He was the source of that creation.
Right?
Hey, we are filtration systems, right? So we filter anything and everything that we want to filter.
Well, it does give a new idea to what kind of filtering is going on when you're actually channeling the stream. I mean, now we know it's caffeinated for one thing.
It may very well be, especially like the summit from Saturday. I channeled for 4 hours straight.
I wanted to ask you about that.
Great, but
what is it like to channel for 4 hours? Because I mean, I was talking about that with Janine actually before the boot camp meeting today. We're speculating. Like, do you have to take a nap afterward? Does that like wipe?
Oh yeah, I come out of it in tears, crying every time, and then I'm completely wiped out for the rest of the day. Maybe even the next day. That's why I do these on Saturdays, so I can rest up on Sunday afterward.
You can cry and just you go decompress.
Yeah, you go to this high vibe and you hold it up there for a while. And everybody that's in there is we've come up with this term super vibe. I don't know how else. And if you've seen any of the lives that we've done, we all say that's indescribable. Super vibe is the only way. We had a new guy that I've never met before attend, and he went into the group and said that he's done channeling. He's been to, you know, workshops with Abraham and all this stuff. And he said he's never experienced anything like it. And it's everybody together. It's not just the stream. It's everybody together creating, which is really cool.
Wow.
That's what's so interesting though, because with it being so high vibe, kind of contrasting that with you are just putting out so much energy to do the channeling. It's almost like it seems like there should be like a connection coming in from the other side, feeding you energy while you're putting the energy out this way. So you have a continuous flow of energy, but I guess it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I was thinking about, I was about to get a delivery and would have to jump off for just a second, but I don't know what these people are doing in front of the house. So, the breaks help, you know, taking the two little breaks. It's like a little break that is very helpful, but I get right back into it.
Mm.
It's really cool because we get right back into that collective intention of being in that super high vibe. And then we sort of get right back into it until the next segment. Then we take a little break and then we get right back into it again.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But still though, it's really, it's an interesting thing how that energy apparently flows one directionally for you in terms of you experiencing it, because you have this high vibe event, but you're putting out all this energy and you need to take a day off afterward. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. It's just interesting.
Well, I think that the exhaustion is afterward that day. And then I just need a day to kind of regroup, but maybe I don't, you know, I just give that to myself. Okay. That's why we do them on Saturdays.
Okay.
So who knows? I haven't tried to do it for 4 hours and then jump right back into my regular life the next day.
Okay.
Like everything else, it's a bigger deal in the beginning, and the more you do it, the more it just becomes second nature.
Mm. Yeah, I think.
What was that, Dan?
Definitely something to be said for the self-care aspect of taking that time out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very true. But this is only the second summit, I think you're calling it. This is like a four-hour summit. This is the second one you've done, right?
This is the second one. Yeah, we do them. We're going to do them quarterly now.
Okay. How did it compare in your experience to the first one?
They were similar, different things. You know, there's no specific agenda. So everybody that comes on and joins us can ask anything they want. Mm-hmm. So the first one, I don't even really remember all the topics from the first one, but now we went into this whole pyramid thing that we're talking about in boot camp and everywhere else, mm-hmm. you know, being the top of the pyramid and owning the pyramid and loving the pyramid to be the top of the pyramid. And that all started with the topic of money, that you can't criticize the financial system and be at the top of it. Mm. So that pyramid theme I know carried into the summit, and we went really deep into that.
And the material put out on that has been great. It was, even though I've never really considered myself to be anti-establishment, I'm all about it. But even witnessing what's been happening with everybody sort of billionaire shaming Richard Branson for going to space, which I've been speaking about all week, because I think it's really sad that someone's accomplished something that's moving humanity forward is getting shamed.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, of the billionaires of the world, to me, he's the most interesting of the
And I get to meet him in April.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. That's very, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't you know, Alex?
I did not know.
I'm going to Necker Island next April to hang out with him on his island and some other entrepreneurs.
Ooh, okay. Excuse me. Yeah. Bring me back something nice. I like shot glasses.
Okay. I'll steal one of Sir Richard's shot glasses.
Little version of shot glasses.
First time there.
Right.
The shot glasses. Got a pilfer one for Alex. It'll be from the airport, love, all right.
Exactly.
I have no idea where to take that conversation, so I'll just start again.
The disruption begins.
Well, that was the best part about Thursday.
I was going to say something about what David was talking about being like so high vibe that you're worn out throughout the next day. Like, that's exactly what I go through with my agoraphobia. When I have to go out for a certain amount of time, it takes that, if not more, the same amount of time for me to decompress from being outside.
Well, we can experience stuff from a lot of different kinds of experiences that are similar. I mean, the vibrational experience is similar. The experiences are different,
mm-hmm.
but the vibrational experience can be very similar. And I think that's one of the more interesting kinds of compare and contrast things to do. Okay, I am I'm going skiing, and somebody else is knitting, but they're getting the same kind of vibe that I'm getting,
mm-hmm.
which seems so weird. I mean, they're different things.
And yeah.
Sure. Everything has the power that you give to it, though. So
right.
If knitting really turns you on, then really raises your vibe to knit.
And my wife loves to knit. For me, I mean, knitting is a great way to go to sleep. For her, it's a great way to just relax.
Mm. But, well, you've never seen a knitting circle. They go ham.
Ooh.
It's like, get it, Gladys. Go.
Get it.
We have managed to make knitting sexy. I love it.
That's right. It's a good thing.
Well, so, you know, we talk about low thought activities. Think about it. It's like a form of meditation, I'm sure.
Mm. To knit.
Yeah. True. Got it.
Yeah.
You get into that rhythm, and then all of a sudden, yeah. Just 4 hours go by.
Mm-hmm. Well, we learned about ironing therapy in boot camp.
Ironing therapy?
Well, I always talk about how in boot camp we give this tool of how to move up the spiral systematically. And sometimes when you can't meditate and you can't even appreciate, you do a low thought activity. And I always say that my favorite low thought activity is ironing. There's something that raises my vibration just about ironing, because you've got to pay attention. You take your mind down to exactly what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So think about it. When you're ironing, you've got to pay attention, because you could burn yourself. You could burn whatever you're ironing. Mm-hmm. There's something about the steam.
It's just so satisfying.
Yeah, it's very satisfying. And I never knew that there was a thing, ironing therapy. I thought it was something I created as a low thought activity to raise your vibration so that you can then go into appreciation and meditation and all that. And then I'm looking for this image for the slide deck that we did.
That was a great image.
Ironing therapy. And I found it's a thing. There was a photo of ironing therapy, a stock photo of ironing therapy that I could use. I'm like, who knew? But it's actually a thing that you can go in the UK and take an ironing therapy class.
Cool teacher in the UK.
You stand there. And there's somebody in the background with the crisp laundry saying, hey, come iron on my stuff. We'll call the it crisp there. Laundry. We'll charge you $100.
I'm going to start ironing again.
I have to say, too, when I saw that image, the first thought that went into my mind, I mean, you had said in the little module that, you know, there's a such thing as ironing therapy, and that was cool. But when I saw them actually doing it, you had like four or five people in this image, all at ironing boards with their irons in exactly the same position. So it was like synchronized ironing.
Well, it was like a stock photo to represent ironing therapy, but it was funny. It was funny nonetheless. But you're right. There's probably somebody in the UK that decided they didn't want to do dry cleaning anymore and invented ironing therapy. And they charge people to come over and iron their shirts for them.
That is brilliant.
if it's moving humanity forward in love and high vibe, then...
Yeah. Some sure. people go to space and some people iron.
Yeah.
I was trying to imagine, is there an Olympic event for, you know, Olympic ironing? Everybody, okay, synchronized. 1, 2, 3, bang. But, yeah. Apparently that was the only one who was thinking that. So
it'll be in the Olympics before you know it.
There's going to be an Olympics this year. There's not going to be crowds at it, apparently, but there is going to be an Olympics this year.
It's going to be a virtual. Do you know what? They started doing the virtual virtual festivals where you wear like the 3D thing and you see the virtual thing and there's a stage and you see everyone there. I've actually been looking at this whole virtual stuff because there's a whole thing about virtual world. There's a charity I'm involved in, and they create like a virtual learning center where people can come into this whole virtual reality and like have meditation and stuff like that. I'm actually investigating building like a virtual, like you buy the virtual real estate and you build like the thing, and people can come to your virtual world and like come for workshops and retreats and stuff like that.
Nice.
So, hey, you know, it's all expansive. Ironing, virtual reality, cups of tea, knitting, who knows what.
That's very cool. I didn't realize that the VR had developed to that point where you could just go out and basically you know, run it for your event, essentially.
It's the next frontier. And from like an unfolding of reality perspective, I kind of see it's like source split off and we had duality, right? And then we had the vibrational realm, and then a bit more density with the thought form, astral realms, and all of that kind of good stuff. And then we had the manifestation of human form, and now the continual evolution of source now moves into the virtual realms. I think it's fascinating, personally.
That's really it's like the merging. For me. Yeah, like the energy in 3D kind of merging, right? Mm-hmm. The 3D experience is more energetic. I love it.
Shelley in the live stream is pointing out the Oregon Country Fair did a virtual fair this year.
Nice. Wow.
Sign of the times.
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to imagine the animal judging.
Oh, my God.
How do you get
that's what they do.
Right? Get that mark.
Yeah, right. Well, they probably have some sort of a smell-o-vision thing. I don't know.
There is a virtual – that has been invented. There is a virtual, like, smell machine that can –
There is.
Yeah. And a touch machine, too.
I mean, I would think there's some way to tie that into this new VR thing that you found, Daniel. I would think that could be possible.
Yeah. The whole thing's wild. But like for me, it's like, again, going back to what you were sharing before, David, about not shaming the system, but expanding the system, becoming a part of it. It's like it was revolutionaries who had random and seemingly useless things that they chased off. Imagine, you know, we're doing this whole virtual connection. We're in, I'm in a different country. You guys are in one state. We've got David there in another. We've got people tuning in from all around the world because someone had the crazy idea that there was something important about building a computer chip.
Yeah.
And then had the idea of like videoing. Maybe they watched enough Star Trek for that. And these are the things that move humanity forward. I think it's beautiful and powerful for us to support and revel and celebrate that.
By the way, Shelley qualified what she said. It's not a county fair. It's a country fair. It's a hippie fair in the Pacific Northwest. Not that that really makes a whole difference because hippies just, they have a different kind of smell involved that we don't necessarily need to get into. But my point is you still need to have the smell-o-vision. It's just for a different need, is all.
Yeah,
because I had questions on the pie-eating contest. I had so many questions.
Questions.
But the
how do you do a pie-eating contest? That
exactly,
is a challenge, isn't
right?
It?
That's what I'm saying.
Now you have to have taste division.
Yeah, I don't think they have that just yet.
Not yet.
No.
Well, taste is based on smell. You know, so, facts. I mean, if you got smell-o-vision, there ought to be some way, you know, like there's a sensor you put on your tongue and then you run the smell-o-vision and now you got taste.
I was just thinking of the everlasting gobstopper.
I was thinking of that.
Yes.
A mic TV that went in the mic. In the
TV. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. Exactly. Yeah. All right. So
getting closer to Ready Player One as we speak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're getting there.
So I'm going to try to buck the tide a little bit and see if I can bring us back to normality for a moment. That may not be possible on the show, but you know, every once in a while, I take a stab at it just to see if I can do it. And I'm going to do it by just going back a little bit to Taya again, because I've got a Taya master. I've got the Taya creator here, the guy who created the whole, well, actually, I guess the stream created Taya when I really think about it. David channeled it, but the stream actually created it. So I've got like the cream of the Taya crop in front of me right now. And I'm trying to ask myself what questions or what should I bring in here to get these two Taya masters? It's kind of like having two Kung Fu masters and asking them to do a demonstration, right? Except that it's probably more like, I can't think what the self-defense one is, Aikido. It's kind of like having two Aikido masters, but you can't get them to engage because Aikido never engages. They're always just in defense mode. So an Aikido match is just two masters staring at each other. It doesn't go anywhere. So I may end up with that kind of a situation here too, but I'm going to take a stab anyway. And I'm going to do it by trying to stir the pot, so to speak. So I'm going to share something that Daniel shared last week. He said, when I asked him why he decided to become a Taya master, he said, well, I was told to. So I want to put you on the spot, David, and find out what was that all about?
I told him to do it?
He was like, Walt was like, oh, why did you join Taya Mastery? I was like, well, I hopped up with David. He's like, so you're going to join Mastery? I was like, oh, I guess I am.
I am that persuasive, Walt. That's all I have to say.
It's just like, oh, okay. Cool.
Why not?
Like, that's the next thing to do. Yeah.
Why not?
It's like, where is the no to joining Mastery? I don't know.
Well, that's a fair point. I like that a lot.
It's a very interesting group of people. It's not all Taya graduates. You know, we've created Taya Expanded now. We have Taya Basecamp for all that. But it's the people that want to create the leading edge of the Taya practice because it never ends.
Look out for
the finish line. Yeah. And what I love about our group is that we create it there and then we share it everywhere.
Well, what is it exactly? For those of us,
it's the expansion of the practice, and we are taking it out to the bleeding edge, I should say, and just going deeper and deeper and deeper into creating new tools and experiencing it in different ways. And I have people that have been there now for 3 years, just keep coming back and wanting to go deeper and deeper and deeper into it. And then we've created this new term called a spin out because we're a spin out is a prolonged DTS where you get so good, you get so.
Remember, this is entire boot camp, so you got to define terms like DTS.
Yeah, so you get so DTS is down the spiral. You know when you're down the spiral, your vibration is low. DTS mm-hmm. down the spiral. So when you create an unraveling of whatever it is that you're manifesting, or you've manifested something like a business, and mm-hmm. and it was going great, and you're like, gosh, I'm so in alignment with this new business. It's so successful. Everything is going wonderful. And then suddenly it stops. Mm-hmm. It's spinning out. It's unraveling. It seems like it's demanifesting, and we're mystified by it. You know, how could I have been in alignment with this? And it was all working perfectly. And now it's unraveling. And we see that in celebrities, you know, these celebrities that we place on this pedestal, and they are the everything, you know, they are the big star, the big celebrity. Then all of a sudden there's some big disruption in their lives and it's plastered hashtag all over. Free Britney. Who's that?
I said, hashtag free Britney.
Yeah. Yeah. She's had a 10 year spin out, right?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah. So it's a spin out and it actually serves us and it serves a purpose. But if you're in it and you're demonizing it, you're pushing against it, you don't get the value of it. Not until you find the appreciation of the spin out, just like anything else. When you find the appreciation of the billionaire instead of the pushing against the billionaire, then you're moving up to the top of the pyramid where the billionaires are. Mm-hmm. But if you're demonizing that system, you're not going to be to the top of it. And if you want to change it, the change happens from the top down, mm-hmm. not from the base. So the spin out is all about allowing something that you've created to spin or just having it spin out because of vibrational flow, which is a big part of our teachings. It's not just about be happy all the time and everything is perfect. The spin out serves a purpose, because when you have a spin out and you raise your vibration for clarity and then you reflect on the spin out, you see the things that you need to work on. Mm-hmm. You see the flaws in whatever you're trying to create, whether it's a business or a relationship or whatever. It reflects the flaws right back to you. Like, wow, I had that spin out and I never realized that I still had a victim vibration, or I never realized that I still have scarcity consciousness, even though I'm better than I was. There's still work yet to be done.
But there's always work to be done. It's always like a reminder not to get into this thing of thinking that the work's ever going to stop.
Yeah, that's why I don't like the idea of perfection. That's why I don't like the idea of this, the Instagram version of life, where there's some guru that's perfect. Perfect. I'm perfect. Everything's perfect all the time. Just enjoy all the time. I don't think that that's what we're here for.
Of course, on the flip side, you don't have to go into a 10-year spin out like Britney did.
No. No. We stick ourselves in our spin out sometimes. Yeah. But you don't have to do that. You get tools and you realize, okay, the spin out can be clarity. And then you grow from the clarity and build back whatever you created even better.
Which basically means we get to decide how long that spin out's going to last.
Oh, we're completely in control of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The quicker you can find appreciation for it, the quicker you'll get out of it.
Which is important to remember, because so often when we're in that spin out mode, it feels like we're out of control.
Yeah.
That's part of what that feeling is.
We talked about you're drunk on DTS.
Right, exactly.
You're intoxicated down in that lower vibrational state. You don't realize, you don't even remember what it's like to be up.
Mm-hmm.
And catch yourself and realize, wow, I'm DTS right now. Mm-hmm. The restaurant last night, I walked in and they didn't have a table and we sat down in the bar and then it was hot and I was complaining about it being hot. And I caught myself, wait, why am I even complaining? Why am I not appreciating that I'm able to go out to dinner? It was a choice to be here. I'm in this great place. And I stopped it, but I was in it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You dip into these vibrations. You don't realize you're there until you catch yourself.
I got to tell you something though. It was not relevant to what was going on during the meeting today, but you said something that kind of clicked in my mind. You said something like, how many here have ever had a situation where somebody said you've had too much to drink? That's not the way you phrased it, but that was the gist of what you were saying. And I thought about it and I realized I hadn't had that. And then you went into a description about some example. I can't remember exactly what, where, somebody had too much to drink and they were basically getting it thrown back in their face. And the last time I remember having anything like that, now I have not been a drinker since my 20s. And the last time I got really, really drunk I was in college. So I was 20, 21, something like that. And I recall very vividly, I'm pretty sure it was the last time I actually got drunk like that. We were at a bar. Now, I went to a school in upstate New York. It's in a rural area. It's a very small population town. So the town has like four bars. That's it. You know, and bar hopping takes 10 minutes. There's not a whole lot of, there's not a whole lot of moving around going on there. So anyway, we end up at this one place there and we're there for, I don't know, a couple hours, something like that. And I had more to drink there than I've ever had anywhere else. And I was driving and I knew that. And I was trying to figure out, you know, which one of us, now this was long before the concept of a designated driver, but I had kind of a feel for the concept anyway, because I was very aware of how dangerous it would be for me to drive home drunk. Mm-hmm. And not only that, I'd be driving everybody else home. Mm-hmm. Now, home was like 2 miles away, but it doesn't matter. When you're inebriated like that, it's a major deal to try to do it at all. Mm-hmm. Well, they all piled into the car when we were ready to go, and they all fell asleep. So my friends basically just napped out on me and expected me to get home. You have to understand the time of year and where we were. This was in January. Ooh. In the midst of an extreme cold spell. Ah. It was probably about 30 below outside. Mm-hmm. So we couldn't even stay to sleep in the car. We would have frozen to death. And if I ran the engine all night, we'd die of carbon monoxide poisoning. So there was no option here. We had to get home. And I turn on the car and I'm trying to wake my friends to say, please, you got to help me stay awake so that I can get us home. And they're just flat out asleep in the car. And I'm thinking, how on earth do I deal with this? Mm-hmm. And so I literally sat there. Of course, when you're inebriated, you can't think clearly, right? So it took a long time to process this. I probably sat there about 10 minutes trying to figure out, how do I get us home without going on the main route? Because if I go on the main route, I'm getting pulled over. No doubt in my mind whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And this is a very small town. There aren't a whole lot of roads. I mean, you basically have one. Well, I think I've heard there's now two traffic lights in town. They've actually expanded. But it was a one traffic light town at that point. And there was just one way to get there. Well, actually, there was one back road. And I'm saying, I know I've been there before. How does that road go? And I'm trying to figure out, map it out in my head. So I finally get where I think it goes. Bear in mind, this is only like a mile and a half trip, but it's a major deal because I know if I get pulled over, it's over. And so I'm driving down this side road that has parked cars on both sides in winter, and there's snow on the ground, and I'm inebriated, and I'm trying to guide the car at about 5 miles an hour between these other cars, weaving through them because I'm trying to maintain my balance in the whole thing. The trip that should have been about a 3 to 4 minute trip took 30 minutes because I am moving so slowly along this back road trying to get back there. So I just wanted to tell you that there actually is somebody in the world, David, who was very, very aware of how drunk he was on that night and never wanted to go there again.
No. Not a good feeling. Not a good feeling.
Not a good feeling. No, I was so relieved. And then when we got there, I finally got them there and I'm exhausted. I'm sweating like a pig at that point, but I finally got them there. We didn't get pulled over. Nobody saw us. And one of the guys in the back had the tenacity and nerve to say, "What took so long?"
So yeah, he was too drunk to drive or help out, but had a concept of time.
Oh, God.
But did you die, though? That's what you should have told him.
I didn't die, and he didn't either, and I never had that much to drink again. It worked very well for that perspective.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about drinking is that you lose your senses, and you don't know. And what I was really referring to was when you've had a few to drink, and you don't even realize.
Yeah.
You're not aware, and somebody else might say something, and then you gain awareness so that you've had too much to drink. That's what being down your spiral can be like.
Right.
You just catch yourself down there all of a sudden, not realizing that you're down there. And then you don't have the skills to just magically be up.
Because well, I was down the spiral, but I was just terrified of it. So I was way down the spiral. I was so far down that there was a new level of a spiral going on. Yeah.
You added on at the bottom. Yeah,
I did. No doubt about it. But I also, what's the thing we talk about? Finding ways to appreciate it. I really appreciate that experience because I never wanted to do it again. Yeah. I was done. That was it. And I never did.
You and I are old enough to remember when drinking and driving wasn't as big a deal as it is now.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, mothers against
drunk drivers. Out there going to the bar and killing people?
Oh, yeah. I grew up in Louisiana. In Louisiana, we used to have these things called Frosty Factories. And at the Frosty Factory, they had these giant – have you ever been to New Orleans and had the hurricanes?
I'm dying to go, but I have not been.
Oh, New Orleans is great. Everybody should go to New Orleans. But the Frosty Factory was these frozen, fruity, sweet drinks made with grain alcohol. And they would serve them in a bucket, like a 32-ounce bucket, and they had drive-thru. And they would get this 32-ounce grain alcohol hurricane and stick a straw in it and hand it to you in your car at the drive-thru.
Oh, my God.
Drive-thru?
Happy driving. Yeah. Well, this was in the 80s, and Mothers Against Drunk Drivers came around. And, you know, and it was not a good thing back then to drive drunk, of course. But Mothers Against Drunk Drivers became a very prevalent thing in the 80s. Right. And then that's where all of the drunk driving laws came from.
That's right.
Before that, it wasn't viewed the same as it is now. It was just, oh, yeah. If you ever watched Mad Men when they were just drunk all the time?
Yeah.
You know, and they have martinis at work. I couldn't focus. I couldn't have two martinis and have a business meeting. And
at 9 focus a.m.? On,
yeah, at 9 o'clock in the morning. But that's how they functioned back then, right? Mm-hmm. So it was a whole different – there was just a whole different mindset. Just like when I was a kid, I never wore a seatbelt in a car. Mm. You know, and when I was a kid, if I'd worn a helmet on my bicycle, I would have had the crap beaten out of me for wearing a helmet.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it was a whole different world than it is now.
Very different.
Yeah.
Very different. In fact, I can recall that when seatbelts became the law, my family had actually been ahead of the curve. My father had custom installed seatbelts in the car, even though the car hadn't come with that. And we used to get the crap teased out of us every single time somebody got in the car with us. What's this?
Oh, yeah.
What is this, like training wheels?
Why would you wear a seatbelt? That's crazy. Now I wouldn't dare go down the street without a seatbelt on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we change culture and change the vibration, and it becomes a thing, which is good. Seatbelts are good. I can't argue against a seatbelt. So I remember in high school, one of my friends got into a bad car accident, and I got into the car with him after his accident, and he buckled up. Mm-hmm. And he asked me to do the same. And I think that was the first time I ever buckled a seatbelt in my life was in high school.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. As a kid, you just didn't do it. You climbed all over the car. You handed your parents their cigarettes.
And you mentioned how they
score. Drink.
Yeah. Here's your scotch and cigarette while you're driving. There you go.
And you mentioned how people didn't even think twice about it because it wasn't a big issue at that point, but it was a problem. It certainly was a problem. And I recall when Saturday night came, if you were somebody who was going out on a Saturday night, you made sure that you were out actually at wherever you were going before 8 o'clock so that you wouldn't be on the road in case the crazies were out. You didn't think of them as drunk drivers. You thought of them as crazy.
Yeah.
That's the way they were labeled. They were the crazy people.
Yeah. I mean, obviously people were getting hurt and killed, and that's why we have all these things now.
Yeah. You
know, not just because, just like the kids on the bicycle. Now I think it's a law they have to wear a helmet, right?
Yeah,
most places.
Yeah. I couldn't imagine. 1970s, a kid driving up on a bike with a helmet would have been a really bad thing.
Especially in Louisiana, I can see that.
Oh, yeah. Just shave another 2 decades off for Louisiana.
That's right.
If you're in Louisiana, I apologize. I still love Louisiana. I would live in the army.
Hey, Cindy Chavez is from Baton Rouge, so, you know, it's okay. But, I think she'd probably agree with you, to be perfectly honest.
No, it's a very special place. I'm very happy that I grew up there. And when I go back to New Orleans, I feel very at home. I grew up in North Louisiana, but I love New Orleans. Love New Orleans.
New Orleans is a town that everybody should visit New Orleans at least once.
I've been to every city in the United States and all over the world, you know, some major cities, and there's nothing that compares to New Orleans. I'm sorry, Alex.
It's on my to-do list. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody should. Just it's a great place.
It's an experience. Bourbon Street all by itself is an experience, but it's not just Bourbon Street. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in New Orleans.
Yeah, Garden District, amazing food.
Yeah.
Super, super genuine, friendly people. And it's not all gentrified.
Mm-hmm. Right.
My favorite thing about it, it's not Disney eyes. You know, it's not all scrubbed up and cleaned and it's got a charm about it. Yeah. It's authentic. I like that.
That's true. Yeah, that's very true. We have some cool cities in this country. I mean, there are some cool cities in other countries too, but I don't
know. Yeah,
not as cool as us.
says, America's the best.
America!
America!
says the foreigner sitting in a foreign land.
Well, you know, a city I have not gone to where I want to visit is Mexico City. That's next on my...
Mexico City is dope.
Yeah, I want to go to Mexico City.
Mexico City is definitely worth that.
If you go to Mexico City, what is it that you have to see?
I don't know.
Mexico City.
It's just cool. The architecture's cool. It's like got this kind of European vibe. It's dope.
Yeah.
And, okay. And the different sections of the city as well got different vibes. So I used to go to Condesa more and sort of pop into Polanco, but then Olga liked Polanco and I'm like, I really like Polanco. So it, apparently it's like you're a snobby Johnny Big Sox if you, I'm good Polanco, but I still enjoy it.
So there's a class system. That's interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool places. I love Mexico because I've been to Merida. I've been to Cancun several times. I've been to Puerto Vallarta several times. I've never been to Los Cabos, so that's on my list for Mexico too. But I've never visited a place in Mexico that I didn't love. And I've been to when I was a kid, we stayed in Brownsville, Texas, which is right on the southernmost border of Texas.
Right.
And we went in and did missionary work. And this was with a church group. In Mexico, whatever that town is just over the border. And we stayed in a mission there for like 2 weeks. We were there for a long time. And that was a cool experience as well. Yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah, there's a lot of really cool places. I mean, well, Carrie is from Thai World is moving to Belize of all things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a major move. And that it's like the talk of the Thai community right now that she's making this giant leap. Cause I gather she kind of did it. Not that it was spur of the moment, but it kind of sounded like it was spur of the moment the way she
Yeah,
did
it kind of was. She owned a ranch in Texas and she sold her ranch and she just decided she was going to move to Belize. She had never been to Belize. She closed on her ranch. She stored all of her furnishings. She sold her car, bought a plane ticket, went to Belize, bought a condo on the ocean. And when I get back from my vacation, she's moving.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah.
So I joke the flaw in my business is that the people that work around me manifest everything they want and then they don't want to work for me anymore.
Like, thanks, I don't need you.
I know. I've had a couple of those situations where they just manifest this life experience where, like, wait, I need your help still, come back, but she's still going to work. I said, you can move anywhere in the world you want, just make sure you have a great internet connection and we're good.
Well, that's the beauty of it because internet is everywhere. So you can run your business from, you know, if you can figure out a way to get internet up there, you could run the business from the moon. I mean, you're really good. It's just whether you have the connection.
Yeah, no, my intention is to always be virtual to be able to have, you know, people work all over the world in this as coaches and stuff like that. So yeah, why not?
It's funny too because I mentioned that I've been doing a number of Thai things, including interviewing one of our listeners, who's perhaps going to become a co-host, and she's also a Thai person. One of the things that we talked about was how when you get into this virtual world, you start doing things like LOA Today, like the Thaya, like what Daniel does with Dream with Dan, and all the affiliate stuff that he does. You can actually get to the point where so many of your friends are online and you've never actually met them in person.
Mm-hmm.
Like the only one of my co-hosts that I met is sitting right here, Alex. She is the only one of my co-hosts that I met in person. And there's nothing wrong with that.
A year or two.
No, I don't even draw a difference anymore. Like Kat, my book editor, I have never met her in person. We wrote, she edited my first book. We wrote my second book together.
You guys have never met?
Never met in person.
I thought you would have met.
Yeah, we've just never met. We never have. It hasn't even crossed our minds to need to do that. I mean, she'll come when we do the live workshop. She'll be involved in that next year. We just haven't. We're starting a publishing company together. We've never met in person. It's always been Zoom. But I feel like I've known her forever.
And that's so cool because talk about making the world a small world. It has made it a completely small world. Literally, we can connect with anyone, anywhere, anytime, as long as there's an internet connection.
Yeah.
I think virtual was the best thing that happened with the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no doubt. I think that actually made talk about learning how to appreciate something. Mm-hmm. I think the pandemic and the experience of working virtually and talking virtually and communicating virtually created a way for people to learn how to appreciate the pandemic, even though they had no idea, no concept of the importance of appreciation.
Yeah.
Just people who had nothing to do with any of these, you know, Elway's circles or conscious creation or Tai or anything like that. They still were able to get into an appreciation mode without realizing what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's to me, that's exciting. Because that means that
finding being able to find your virtual tribe of people that stimulate you intellectually.
Yep.
That's very valuable because you don't always find that geographically.
That's right. When I kind of play it out a little bit, I realize this is advancing a whole lot of people's lives in ways that they can't even measure yet. They can't even define it or describe it because they don't have the kind of vocabulary that we have here on the show. But nevertheless, it's happening for them. And so they're building up this portfolio of experiences so that when the time does come that they've got a way to express it, they're going to be able to say, oh yeah, I remember when the pandemic happened, I had XYZ happen virtually. And that's exactly what you were talking about just now. I can just see all that kind of kicking into gear very quickly over the next few years.
Go ahead, Dan.
No, I was just agreeing.
I was just thinking too that I had friendships that flourished globally in the Taya world. And then I had friendships that dissolved that were more localized in the virtual world because you realize there's really not a whole lot that we have to talk about. You know, if you're kind of hanging out with someone at a party or an event, that's a little different than being face to face on Zoom and realize you really have little in common.
Mm.
So that, I noticed that in the pandemic as well.
Because you're in a physical room. There aren't a whole lot of options. You can either stay in the room or leave the room.
Yeah. And two, we were in a little more of a kicked up, stressful environment. People and seeing how people reacted to that. And Michael and I would get on a Zoom cocktail party and everyone's losing their minds about COVID and masks. And I'm like, oh, you know, the last thing I want to hear about right now is that.
That's cool. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so like, that's old. It's over now. That's so before, you know?
Yeah. Get over it.
Yeah.
But that is the beauty of virtual, because when you're in that virtual environment, if you don't like what you're seeing, talk about being able to change a channel. That's changing a channel.
Oh, yeah. We end up popping out of a couple of meetings. And then we just
And not only that, not only can you change the channel, you can block the channel.
Yeah. Well, when the term mask shaming came around, I knew I was done. People were filming people without masks on and then mask shaming them. I'm like, really? This is what we're doing?
Yes.
Yeah.
But this fear, me and Matt, fellow Taya master, good mate of mine, who I have met in real life, actually.
Oh, cool.
I have met him as well a couple of times. He's actually stayed at my house.
Yeah, I know him because I met him in real life and it converted to virtual, which is like the reverse of what we're talking about.
Nice.
We're talking about like the fear-based, like all the fear-based positions around all this stuff. Like fearful that it's going to decode your DNA, fearful that it's going to do this, fearful that it's not going to do that, fearful that it was the wrong brand. It's like, or you could just drop the fear.
Yeah. I mean, there are people that are fearing the pandemic and fearing the vaccination for the pandemic.
Yeah.
Talk about a setup. Oh.
Yeah.
Woo. Yeah.
Everything has the power that you give to it. That's my favorite.
And people are really good at giving power to stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we live in a world where this is a fairly common topic here on the show. We live in a world where people go out of their way to create this kind of stuff for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the chaos and crisis type lifestyle, the people who are into all the dramas, all that kind of
thing. Oh, yeah. Yes.
You know, it's just major.
It's something to do. Yeah. It's something to stimulate them.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like it's a way to avoid their own pain. You know, you see somebody else's pain, your pain doesn't hurt so much.
Mm.
Mm.
Something along that line.
That's because you never mind in other people's business. That's what happened.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Well, and how often are people trying to save, and even people in spiritual circles or even law of attraction circles, trying to save people from themselves?
Mm-hmm.
Like say, you know, you're judging their experience as bad and you want to save them from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I've kind of developed my own personal rule to have one very important factor before I'll try to help anybody, and that is they have to ask for the help first.
Yeah, they need to want it, right?
If they don't want it, forget it. I'm done. Yeah. I'm out of here.
be the savior, you know? No.
Well, even worse, it's more likely that it's going to turn into a bitch session. What they really want is the opportunity to complain. They don't want to actually fix anything because they didn't volunteer to fix anything.
That is true. Complaining is poppy sometimes.
Oh, it's very popular. Yeah. And it's really
endless. Hold on. It's good to know with all the kids. They love it.
I get the feeling some people live entirely for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not me, but. See, this now I'm going to kind of throw a zinger at Alex and Daniel here. This is why I don't get crazy about television, because television is all about exactly this. So when you guys go off telling me about, you know, why I can't believe you haven't watched this show or that show, well, this is why. Why would I want to go down that road?
I suppose we'll have different experiences.
Yeah.
The cheeky show. I enjoyed the wrapping up of Loki.
I was just going to ask you. Okay.
We need to talk about that another time.
We do. Okay.
Because that's
unless you can do it in 3 minutes. If you can do it in 3 minutes, that's fine. But, you know,
it can't be done in 3 minutes. And the spoilers for those who haven't seen anything.
Okay.
It's been wonderful.
Yeah, the last episode just aired yesterday, so it's still in spoiler territory.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
What show is this?
Loki.
Loki?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's from the Marvel Universe.
Oh, okay. I'm not in any of that stuff. So yeah,
I think they've been doing really well with tackling some very interesting concepts.
Yes.
Time and free will and mm-hmm. fate, destiny, the source of all things. I'm looking forward to them doing more with that.
I do have to give credit to the sci-fi fantasy world. They do tackle those kinds of topics really well and have for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Especially in the Marvel universe.
Yeah. Why especially Marvel?
Because they just pay
better attention to details, and there's not a lot of holes in the stories. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Very rare.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And when there are holes, they're done with such class that you give them a
book. They're like, you know what? That was so smooth. I'm going to let it slide.
Yeah. I've never been into sci-fi. I think because I've always had my own little weird connection to things. I've never...
You are sci-fi.
My life is sci-fi.
Yeah, I think I am sci-fi. When people ask me about Star Wars, I've seen one Star Wars movie, and it was the first one at the theater when it came out in 1976 as a kid.
And that was it, yeah.
Yeah, my father took us, and I'm like, I don't care about this. None of it. I've never seen one.
It's just
not
You've not
never
much.
Seen one?
Never seen one.
Apparently, it did not cut out a big hole in your life either, so that's a good thing, too.
However, my sister is one of those people that used to spend the night in line for tickets to be one of the first people in to see any Star Wars anything. So she's opposite of me in every conceivable way.
So she joined the majority. That's all right. No problem. So anyway, the last couple minutes, we got left 2 minutes. I just wanted to check into with you, David. Are there any events coming up that people need to know about? Anything in the tire world or outside of tire world?
The next thing will be our live masterclass that we're doing a couple of weeks out. We're probably about 3 weeks out from our next live masterclass. If you're in the Taya practice group, that's all in there. And then we're actually going to be launching the Taya, the Stream Experience, which is our summit that we do chopped up into an online learning experience.
Okay.
So interactive Q&A that goes along with the video of the stream's questions and answers. So both of those things will be available in the group.
And we have been getting more and more people writing in, you know, reacting to the shows we've been doing about Taya and so forth. For those who have an interest in kind of getting their feet wet and exploring it, what's the best way to kind of get their first steps into the whole territory?
Joining the Taya Practice Facebook group is the best way. Okay. Even if you're not a big Facebook person, you can join Facebook and just go right into groups and not get sucked into all the other stuff. So the Taya Practice group is the best place. It's the most interactive online community we have.
So that's good stuff. All right. Well, this has been great. And David, I have to say, it's been great to do a show with you where there's been no channeling whatsoever going on. And we got to find out about coffee, of all things. So that was really, really good.
Yeah. Next is whiskey.
And whiskey, yeah.
And tattoos.
And tattoos, yes. Both the disappearing ink variety and the permanent variety.
Yeah, that was a really cool thing that I learned. I don't know that I'll get another tattoo other than the Taya tattoo, but if I ever want one, maybe it'll be that.
Can I see your Taya tattoo? Nice.
There it is. All right.
Yeah, there's other people now that have Taya tattoos.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, it's catching on.
Three or four others, that have Taya tattoos, yeah.
That's pretty cool. All right. David, thanks so much for driving in. Driving in? Yeah. Driving is not, where did driving come from? All I know is drunk driving. That's what it was. For joining us.
I am sober and I didn't drive. Yes.
You're just high in the caffeine. That's all. And Dan and Alex, as usual, I mean, I'm kind of surprised that we didn't do much more with TV than we did, but you know, it was good. Nevertheless, we really appreciate that part very, very much. Anyway, thank you very much, guys. Thank you especially to our podcast listeners. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you all.